This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Kim Atkins with the U.S. Grains Council from Commodity Classic. First, it's Nathan Kaufman. He's with the Federal Reserve, serves as chief of the Omaha branch, talks about the risk beginning with land values.
We ask a lot about this because of the significance that land represents in the financial picture and the overall asset base of the farm sector. Many of our contacts expect land values to continue to increase further in 2022, given the momentum that we've seen. But at the same time, many of these contacts also do feel that land values may be overvalued. And this is important because that would suggest that whereas there might be some momentum right now, there's perhaps a view that some of the risks that had existed prior to the pandemic may still be relevant going forward.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kim Atkins. Kim's with the U.S. Grains Council. Hey, it's great to see you.
Nice to see you too, Tony.
Okay. I'm a little sad, but we'll come back and hit on that in just a moment. First off, Commodity Classic, though. This is not obviously your first classic. What's the overall mood here in New Orleans?
I think people are just so excited to be back together. You can really sense the excitement in the atmosphere and people finally having that chance to have those one-on-one conversations again. It's really just a really great feeling to see some sense of normalcy back.
And speaking of seeing each other and being personal about it, U.S. Grains Council had your recent meeting, International Marketing Conference. How'd that go?
Again, a really great opportunity to meet face-to-face with our stakeholders for the first time. Well, actually, we did meet in July, but this was our first international marketing conference together. So the first time in 2 years where we've been able to bring our international team together with our stakeholders. And that meeting is just such a critical opportunity for us to really do some brainstorming, some strategic planning with our entire membership. Really thinking about, you know, what's going on in the world today, how can we prepare for it, and where do we see things heading, and what does our program need to look like to address those challenges and opportunities. So the meeting in Greenville was just a great opportunity to do that, and really sets our team, our staff team, on the right foot to go out and get their UES, their Unified Export Strategy, put together and deliver that to the Foreign Agricultural Service at the end of May, and look forward to continuing a really robust program into the next year.
So it really brings up two areas here. First off, getting your marching directions. Those come through A teams. How does that work?
That's right. So within the Grains Council, we have seven different advisory teams. These are kind of focus groups that think about either certain geographies or certain subject matters and really work with our overseas directors to understand kind of what's going on in the global markets and then, you know, what's the appropriate strategy that not only that we think of as a Grains Council staff, but making sure that that's also taking into account what the priorities are for our membership and making sure that we're aligned. So creating that alignment and building a plan that is a cohesive plan for the entire organization moving forward.
Now, the other part that you threw out earlier was taking that back to the Foreign Ag Service, which brings up the partnership that you have through USDA, through Foreign Ag Service, but also through MAP and FMD funding.
Yeah, the U.S. Grains Council is a USDA cooperator, and we receive funds from USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service in the form of the MAP program, Market Access Program, and the Foreign Market Development Program, or FMD. And those programs are really what help facilitate all of our market development efforts around the world. So that partnership is really critical, both in terms of funding, but also in terms of the relationship we have with USDA, both in Washington as well as in the posts around the world. So an important piece of the work that the council does is having that partnership with USDA and then that partnership with our stakeholders, our members, and our farmer members.
But you don't do all of this from just Washington, D.C. Really being out and building those relationships, how do you do it internationally?
So critical piece of the council's work is having that global footprint. So we've got our Washington, D.C. office, but we have, you know, offices located strategically all around the world and are operating in more than 50 different countries. to really build those connections with local governments, with local importers and end users of the products that we represent, corn, sorghum, barley, and all related co-products, including ethanol. So that global footprint is really what facilitates value for our membership, and having those eyes and ears on the ground who can help identify when there's those opportunities, when there's challenges that need to be addressed, to really make sure we're keeping grain and ethanol moving around the world.
Got opportunities to be with the U.S. Grains Council, I think, two different times. You're on your second stint with the Grains Council, which means you had the opportunity to serve with different leaders over time and see highs, see lows throughout the industry. When you look back at your time at the U.S. Grains Council, is there a highlight or two that just kind of jumped to your mind as, you know, I went home that day thinking, wow, this is awesome?
Well, first of all, it's just been such a pleasure to see the way the Grains Council has evolved over the 17 years that I've been involved. Really, I think about the critical time where we moved from simply working on feed grain exports to moving into ethanol market development, and the way we quickly responded to the priorities of our membership and built a really global market development program for ethanol very quickly and very effectively. That's been a really amazing thing to see, and I think it tells the story of how the council is always listening to our members, responding to market conditions, and we're nimble and flexible. And I think that's really great, tells a great story about the council in general. For me personally, I've had so many great opportunities to, you know, travel around the world and meet with importers and end users and government officials. Those have been really, you know, it's a great learning experience, but also a great opportunity for me to represent farmers and industry, people I care so much about. So I've really enjoyed the opportunity to work for the council and, you know, enjoy the opportunity to really make a difference for our membership.
We mentioned earlier the funding, the cooperative funding through USDA, but that's not even available if you don't have funding from farmers. And how important are those partnerships?
Yeah, it's so important. So it's such an important point. All of the funding that we receive from USDA requires a stakeholder match, really requires that our members show they have skin in the game as well. And so having those member dollars are sort of the first dollars, and we pledge a certain commitment to USDA in terms of what, you know, stakeholder match we're going to contribute. And the higher the stakeholder match, the more competitive we are for those dollars. So we're so grateful for the strong partnership that we have with our checkoff organizations and our agribusiness members that have really allowed us to really actually see increases in our funding from USDA over the past couple of years in a time where, you know, those funds have been relatively stagnant for 16 years and a lot of increased competition for those same dollars. So to see the Grains Council continuing to be more and more competitive is truly a testament to the stakeholders who support the council's mission so fully.
Okay, I said I'm a little sad because this is stint number two for you at the U.S. Grains Council, but it's coming to an end. Will you stay tied into ag in any forms, fashions? I mean, what's ahead for you?
Absolutely, staying in ag. It's where I grew up, and it's where my heart is. I'm going to be transitioning into a consulting position with Laura Woods Peterson Consulting. I'm going to be working on a lot of ag policy issues, specifically around climate and, you know, the future challenges that farmers are going to face in that area. I'm going to be working a lot with Indigo Ag, so looking forward to that. And really looking forward to kind of an opportunity to grow and, you know, try a new opportunity. So I've loved my time at the council. It's a place that will always be near and dear to my heart, and I look forward to continuing to work with the council in maybe a different capacity.
So good to see you. Thanks for your time of service. I know we'll see you again. Best of luck.
Thanks so much, Tony. Appreciate it.
Kim Atkins is with the U.S. Grains Council. From Commodity Classic in New Orleans, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Gerald Krueger is with Agricultural Resource Management, or ARM, tells us what the company is all about.
We are a finance company that specializes in operating lines. We lend against crop insurance. We also sell the actual crop insurance. We also have real estate services. We also do capital leases for equipment purchases, your irrigation system, center pivots, and that activity. And we're able to do it in a very quick manner. Most of our turnaround times are within a week versus more traditional underwriting that takes much longer.
Locations, where can we find you across the country?
We are located in with 29 offices across 26 states. We pretty much, if you were to take the Mississippi and go a couple states east and a couple states west, we're right in the heart of America.
Right now, drought pretty much dripping, at least on the west side of that line. Is that something you're watching?
We're very concerned this year about drought. You know, we've seen the western portions of South Dakota, North Dakota, and it creeped into Canada last year. And if you look at some of the predictive models around weather, drought is going to be a concern. And, you know, we've got great prices right now. We just need to have the opportunity to get a crop, and that weather is going to play a major part.
What about the volatility at this point? Really, really tough to have a good idea of the direction we're going to go.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, as we look at and encourage our customers, you know, we'd like to see some pre-marketing into this rally that we have right now, but obviously you don't want to get over your skis. You don't want to get over-contracted, so you got to be real careful. And there is some concern that we'll be able to take advantage of this price if we see a change in that market into a more of a downward cycle. We don't want to see it, but if it's there, but we also don't want to encourage over-marketing, you know, because that's a big risk to get over your skis.
Obviously, many guys have got years into this. They've seen a lot of different things. But what are you hearing from producers right now as they look out over 2022? Some concerns and maybe some things they haven't seen in the past.
Well, I think probably the most common thing we're hearing right now is input costs and the how quickly they increased. And there is also some concern about availability. And, you know, there's been challenges within the delivery chain across just about everything we see as far as consumer goods. And that's going to have the same impact on farming for chemical and fertilizer. And with this disruption, it could be a challenge for our guys in the spring.
That's Gerald Krueger with Agricultural Resource Management, or ARM, out of South Dakota, at the recent Commodity Classic in New Orleans on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're big into baling and want the heaviest, densest, most consistent large square bales possible, you'll be glad to know Heston by Massey Ferguson delivers with the all-new 2370 Ultra High Density Large Square Baler. The world's first Class 8 baler designed to hammer out the heaviest bales in the industry faster than ever before. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24-7 service for your 24-7 operation.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Kim Atkins with the U.S. Grains Council.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The March WASDE report has been released amidst an uncertain global situation.
When we look around at corn, soybeans, wheat, it's in a situation where even prior to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we had tight markets already. We've already seen a good run up in prices, and we've only seen that accelerate as the market tries to figure out what are the both short-run and long-run effects of the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
That was USDA's chief economist, Seth Meyer.
One of the complete unknowns is, how long does this last?
World Board Chair Mark Jekanowski has another comment.
The thing that would make the picture most clear would be if the conflict, was resolved and fighting wound down and ports reopened and grain starts to flow. Then, presumably in that case, the exports could catch up relatively quickly and all of that grain continues to flow out into the world market. But in lieu of that, it's hard to say.
This is Stephanie Hope in Washington, D.C.